Well, I think we all know how important St. Augustine was to the church. I mean, so many of the early church councils were really in one way or another built upon his writings or were interpreted by his writings. And of course, he contributed mightily to Christology, to soteriology, to the doctrine of original sin, to a variety of other doctrines. I mean, he's really an important church father. His leadership, especially his polemical works against early heresies, were incredibly important in the formation of the early church. Certainly, he is the most well-known Latin father before, well, Latin father, period. Of course, St. Thomas Aquinas was a scholastic he was not a church father per se in the same way. But so Augustine is like a huge guy in the church. And I mean, he's not St. Paul, but he's really close. And, you know, so how did we get to him? That's the most interesting part of St. Augustine, revealed, of course, completely in the Confessions. This man was led by the Holy Spirit from the most deplorable of lifestyles into complete sainthood. I mean, this is all there is to it. But of course, God chose St. Augustine like he chose St. Paul. He basically found a guy who he could just see would have the heart to come into the church. And of course, like St. Paul, St. Augustine had remarkable rhetorical gifts, right? He was like the Jesuits. He could, you know, train these guys in Carthage and Rome in his rhetoric school and charge them the highest tuition and get away with it. So, of course, for all intents and purposes, he had great gifts. He had no doubt great writing gifts. I mean, you know, almost exceeding St. Paul. I mean, the guy had just rhetorical flourish, you know, capacity for argument, capacity for higher viewpoint ideas. I mean, the guy was absolutely remarkable. Yet, he really had some deeply difficult starting points. Number one, he was arrogant beyond belief. But he had a great mom. And his mother, St. Monica, she was always praying for him. She was a tremendous example to him, but he'd have nothing to do with her. For all intents and purposes, he wrote her off as kind of, one of these excesses of the Christian faith that was unintelligible to him. And off he went on his own career, kind of, and without really giving a thought to it. But St. Augustine was interested in philosophy and metaphysics, and it was just inevitable that he was going to get closer and closer to at least transcendental philosophy. He didn't get there right away, but his questioning and, of course, his reading of Plato, it was just inevitable that he was going to say, you know, there's got to be a unique highest principle. And Augustine gets to that through Platonic philosophy before he even reaches Christianity. And then, of course, because he's gotten not just to the unique transcendent principle, but he sees these five transcendentals, which Augustine writes about very eloquently, our desire for perfect truth, perfect love, perfect goodness, perfect beauty, and perfect being. What Augustine sees in these five transcendental desires, which manifest five kinds of transcendental awareness, you know, he knows that this has got to be the real purpose of his life. Now, he's got some bad habits. You know, he's going, you know, down to the, get a little bloodlust done at the Colosseum, you know, and a little bit of licentiousness with the ladies of the town, and a little bit of, you know, arrogance, you know, scattered on the side, beating opponents right and left. The guy's having, as it were, a remarkable time, but something inside of him is going, I'm not happy. I'm not there yet. I haven't found a significant purpose for my life. I don't want to just spend my life and go back at the end of it and go, went to the Colosseum 8 times, had these 20 women, and did this kind of stuff, and spent all my money doing this, you know, and taught these students who never appreciated anything I said anyway. He knows it's not enough. And so he's looking and he's looking, and the philosophy is leading and leading, and the Holy Spirit is leading and leading until he gets to those transcendentals. He gets to this unique God. He's looking around, and of course, he finds himself with the Manichaeans. The Manichaeans believe what, you know, Augustine believes about the transcendentals and about God. And of course, he goes, I've got it. But Augustine hits this one point. And the point is, he hits an abyss. He's going to try and get to God. He's going to try and get to these 5 transcendentals, the real true purpose of his life. He's going to try and get there all by himself. And he can't do it. And he's right at the abyss. You know, he's just facing the emptiness. The real purpose of my life is perfect truth, love, goodness, beauty, and hope. And I can't get there by myself from here. And he's kind of in a maze. And St. Ambrose finally comes up to him and goes, Augustine, you can't do this by yourself. You cannot bridge infinity by yourself. God will have to come to be with you. And Augustine says, God has to come be with us, God with us, Emmanuel. Oh, we need Jesus. I get that. And then, of course, he gets into that one big problem, but I just can't abide the old. I can abide Jesus. I get Jesus. I get that whole first letter to John on love. I got that down, but I can't get the Old Testament. And Ambrose goes through the Old Testament with him, gives him the allegorical interpretation of the Old Testament, settles Augustine's questions and problems, and as we know, he becomes one of the greatest saints of the Catholic Church. Now, all I can tell you is, if the Holy Spirit was not leading that guy and answering the prayers of his mother, St. Monica, then I'm scratching my head going, no way could this have happened by sheer coincidence. But it did. And it happens in such great abundance because a blessing he is, not just in his brain, but in his love and his transcendent faith, in his leadership, and in every gift of writing and rhetoric that he brought to the fore. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for St. Augustine and for that radical act of faith where he says in the Confessions, for thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Amen.